Imperial Leader, the life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. The lull before the blitzkrieg. Once again, the world stands aghast before the tramp of armed races. Once again, a small island supported by a great empire fights against the forces of darkness. Once again, proudly, yet conscious of the great part he must play, Winston Churchill enters the Admiralty.
Well, Sir Dudley, here I am back home again.
In the name of the Board of Admiralty, First Lord, may I say that we shall be very happy to work under you.
24 years, Sir Dudley. That's how long it is. And it seems like yesterday when I left here. Poor old Jackie Fisher. And Sir Arthur Wilson. And Prince Louis. Well, it's today we've got to think of. Come up to the chart room, Sir Dudley. We've a lot of things to discuss.
This way.
Oh, thanks, but I know my way about quite well.
Of course, I keep forgetting that you know this place better than I do.
I lived here in 1914 and 15. I'm going to do the same again. Where can I hang my coat? I want to begin work right away.
There's a cupboard over there. By the way, you'll need this.
What is it?
Your official pass for Admiralty House. The sentries have orders to admit no one without showing it.
You can keep it, thanks, Sir Dudley. Do you think anyone could possibly impersonate me?
I doubt it.
So do I. My face is my fortune. But look here. This is the plan I worked out for a total blockade.
You wanted to see me, Winston?
Yes, Neville, if you can spare a minute.
Of course. I'm just working out a reply to Hitler's ridiculous peace offer. Now that Poland's overrun and defeated, the Nazis expect us to forget our sacred obligations and sue for peace.
That's what I came to see you about.
I have some suggestions. Good. Let me have them.
I've made a memorandum that I thought might be helpful. Shall I read it?
Yes, please do.
Well, it's just a collection of phrases, really. You might be able to use some of them. Anyway, here's what I've written. The choice is yours. Germany can have peace on our terms. You can have war if you want it. This is not our choice. If you are sincere, you will give us the peace guarantees we ask for. It will right the wrongs you have done to Poland and Czechoslovakia. But if you do not sincerely want peace, we will fight and defeat you, because we want a settled Europe which will enable all countries, large and small, to prosper and live in complete security.
That's splendid, Winston. Trenchant and uncompromising. May I use it?
Well, I hoped you wouldn't mind my offering it.
Mind? I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. You're a great comfort to me, Winston. I want you to know that.
Mrs. Churchill to see you, sir.
Good heavens. Come in, my dear.
Hello.
This is an unexpected pleasure.
When a husband is so busy that he must sleep and eat at the Admiralty, what is a wife to do but play the part of Mahomet?
I'm not yet a mountain.
You look excited. What's happened?
Wonderful news. I just phoned Neville. The Graf Spee is at the bottom of the ocean.
Really?
Yes. We applied pressure on the Uruguay government to prevent the Germans staying more than 72 hours. Well, the Graf Spee was weighed, moved out, and was scuttled. Scuttled! They wouldn't fight it out. That's the end of a great story. I told Howard he's promoted to Rear Admiral.
Everybody will be thrilled.
The Navy's doing a magnificent job by clearing the seas of submarines surely and steadily. Yes, my dear, Britain still rules the waves.
But when are you going to have a rest?
When the war's over. But as yet, it's hardly begun. Germany plans something very deadly for the spring. Just a few months, there'll be hell let loose somewhere. In the meantime, we can still enjoy our Christmas dinner in peace.
A family gathering, eh? Like old times.
The wonderful old times. How long before they come back to us again?
sir.
Go away. I'm busy.
But this is really important, sir.
Oh. Yes?
A message has just come through from Naval Intelligence. The German armed merchantman, Altmark, she was a supply ship at the Graf Spee, has been reported sailing homeward near Norway. And there are 300 British prisoners on board.
There couldn't be any mistake, I suppose.
Well, most unlikely, I should think, sir.
Well, we've got to get those men off. But if we make an attack in Norwegian waters and find no prisoners and no guns, my name will be mud. However, I've got to take the risk. Just a moment. Get me Lord Halifax at the Foreign Office.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me see. I could send the Intrepid, the Cossack, and the Ivanhoe. They should be able to do the trick. I suppose we should get in touch with the Norwegian government first. Insist on a search, and if we're not satisfied, search for ourselves. And to hell with international law.
Here's Lord Halifax now, sir.
Oh. Hello. Churchill here. I want to ask your opinion about something. Well, it's this. If we knew there was a German merchantman in Norwegian waters with British prisoners on board, and we possibly took them off, how would we stand in international law? Oh. What's that? Get them off just the same? Great. I was hoping you'd say that, but I never dreamed you would. Don't worry. We'll get them off. Goodbye.
Well, sir?
Lord Halifax thinks that legally we may be wrong in using force.
Oh.
But he says we've got to get those prisoners off just the same.
Oh, that's splendid, sir.
Now send this message to Northern Coastal Command headquarters. 300 British prisoners aboard Nazi ship Altmark. Give them the position.
Yes, sir.
Send Intrepid, Cossack, Ivanhoe. Orders are, rescue prisoners at all costs.
Monday, April the 8th, 1940. The British legation in Copenhagen. A husky voice speaks on the telephone.
Hello. I must speak urgently to the minister. You know who's calling?
One moment, please.
Hello.
Yes. The minister speaking.
Listen. The Germans are coming tonight. Destroy everything.
You're positive?
Absolutely. Destroy all papers. I must hang up now. Goodbye. Good luck.
A long, smoldering war bursts into flame. Denmark surrenders. Norway fights against the invaders and fifth colonists. A hopeless battle. Britain lands troops. An expedition ill-fated and doomed. The epic of Narvik, the battles of the Kattegat and Skagerrak. The Blitzkrieg in the north has begun in earnest at the British Admiralty.
Mr. Churchill, I implore you to allow me to take all responsibility and organize and lead an attack on Trondheim Fort.
I know how you feel, Sir Roger, but it's quite impossible.
But there isn't a man living who's had my experience of amphibious warfare. It's the only solution of the Norwegian situation.
The experts say otherwise. They say that in view of the Mediterranean situation, we can't afford to risk any big ships.
Surely you won't allow yourself to be overridden by men who have no imagination, no vision?
I can't afford a repetition of 1915, Sir Roger. I've been told fairly candidly that this time I'm not dealing with Lord Fisher.
But won't they take any notice of me?
I doubt it, Sir Roger. However, I'll pass on your opinion to the people concerned.
Once upon a time, you'd have taken all responsibility yourself and told me to go ahead.
I know better now. As a matter of fact, I suggested a plan similar to yours, and the expert turned it down. This time, I'm going to let the experts have their way and see what happens.
A few short weeks, then the Blitzkrieg in the south. Germany once again tears up a scrap of paper, sends masses of troops, mechanized might across the borders into Belgium and Holland. France is pierced. With a voice that will not be stilled, the peoples of Britain call for a truly national leader. At number 10 Downing Street.
Oh, Winston, I'm glad you came quickly. The French are falling back. We're in grave difficulties.
It's all very bad. But I'm not pessimistic yet.
I've just seen Attlee. He and Greenwood are willing to bring the Labour Party into a national government.
That's splendid.
I shall hand in my resignation to the King at once. And recommend that he send for you. The nation wants you, Winston. And I shall not stand in the way of another leader. A leader whose enterprise and energy and fine qualities
I've long admired.
Thank you, Neville. I'm deeply impressed by your motives and actions.
Well, I'm tired. There's little else that I can do. God knows the last year and a half. Dreadful time. Munich, then the war, now this.
There's one thing more you can do, Neville. Stay by my side. Remain in my cabinet.
You need me. You want me with you.
I insist upon it.
Then I'm at your service, Winston, at all times.
Tell me what happened, Winston.
Chamberlain's resigned. After yesterday, that was inevitable.
And you?
Yes.
Oh, Winston, it's a great responsibility, isn't it?
Yes, and a sacred charge. I've got a real national government now, Clementine. My war cabinet is to be Chamberlain, Halifax, Attlee, Greenwood, and myself.
Mr. Chamberlain still in the cabinet?
Yes, I insisted on that.
I'm glad. Poor man.
More sinned against than sinning. I've never liked him so much as now, in the hour of his downfall.
Prime Minister. Oh, I'm so proud of you, Winston. And the children. They'll be thrilled.
I wanted so much to be Prime Minister a generation ago. And then the dream vanished. And now my ambitions of yesterday are realized. Unexpectedly, like a bolt from the blue. But now, personal ambitions are no longer important. I am in a place of leadership upon which so much depends. A life, a way of living. I pray I may fulfill the trust. My father wouldn't have dreamed of this. But he would have been proud. Proud. I shall work night and day to justify the trust in your trust.